Welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show, hosted by Royce Morales. Royce has been a transformational facilitator, teaching groundbreaking, spiritually based courses for more than four decades. She is the author of three books about her teachings. Join Royce as she takes you on a journey into how to live your best life and find your true purpose through discovering the origins of subconscious, disempowering notions, and releasing them. She talks with experts and inspiring people just like you who learned to trust their intuitive inner wisdom, which led to life-changing shifts. Today, her guests live an empowered existence and are helping change the world to a higher consciousness place based on truth and love. You deserve to awaken to, align with, and embody your true self and live a life filled with love. Transform yourself from triggered to empowered and create your perfect life. Here is your host, Royce Morales.
Hello, welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show. I'm Royce Morales, and it's such an honor to be with you today. I'm just so thrilled, excited, and today I was going to be talking with two people, but one person couldn't be here. Hopefully later he will show up, but I'm going to be talking with one person who has spent years searching for the truth about life, the universe, and everything else. And I felt such a connection with this person the minute I saw the title that she has given herself, Skeptical Metaphysician. And you may not know this about me, but maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I too am such a skeptic. I really am. It took me, I would say, probably my whole adult life to stop being as skeptical. And I kind of stopped when I started to really trust my intuition. But before that, boy, I would read books and listen to lectures and I'd go, well, that's all well and good, but you know, I want proof. And that was my attitude about everything. Not only did I want proof, but I wanted it to work. And I would do all kinds of trainings and all kinds of things. And, you know, I would go home and nothing would be different. So that was the proof that I was looking for. And, you know, but when I started to trust my intuition and I started to have these amazing experiences, I couldn't deny that they were true. But like I said, my intuition now is more of a guiding factor in my life, but I still need proof. I actually looked up the word skeptic. I thought that's an interesting word. It's actually Greek. And basically the definition is not easily convinced, doubtful and negative. And I don't think I'm doubtful and negative, but I need convincing. I really do. Logic was my go-to place. I was raised with a very logical, very intellectual mother. And so I kind of looked at things in that way. But like I said, it had to work. It had to be something that I couldn't say, well, no, that's not true. You know, I did leave my body, but I don't think that's really true. Or I did remember that past life, but no, that's not. I must have made that up. And I've had a lot of students that have had these phenomenal experiences. And then they tell me, well, I think I just made it up. And I said, well, okay, I don't think so. But for me, it was not only did I have that past life memory, but getting in touch with that changed things in this life. So it had to have results as well. So I am excited to find out about the journey that this amazing person, Karen Emsley, has experienced. And I guess I can just jump right in and start asking you questions, because I know that you said that your partner, Will Rodriguez, who hopefully will join us later, he's the one that was more of a skeptic versus how you perceive things. But tell me a little bit about your journey, because I think everybody on some level is skeptical. So tell us about where you came from and how the skepticism hopefully went away, and just kind of fill us in a little bit.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me on the show. I've been very excited about this, and I'm sorry about Will having to miss this, at least part of this. But it's funny, you're talking about skepticism and how you need to see the proof. And it's kind of like the radio, you know, and people talk about sound waves, and I mean, I can't see them, but it happens. So I accept that, but why can't I accept, you know, the spiritual realm, the metaphysical? It's very different. It's kind of like, as a child, we're told fairy tales and these, you know, with, you know, fairies and fairy godmothers and magic and all of this wonderful stuff. So on one hand, we're being taught, you know, look how wonderful this is. And on the other hand, we're being taught also to not believe any of this. So it can be really confusing. And then as you grow up and you get mature and you have to let all that stuff, you know, be pushed aside, you start looking at the science and you need the facts. And that's kind of the trajectory, I think, for most people. For me, so, well, first of all, I do want to say that with our podcast, the thing that we enjoy about it is Will is much more of the skeptic than I am. And so we kind of like to think that we are giving our audience kind of two different points of view. He wants to know that cold, hard proof. And I've told him so many times, here's the proof, but he just doesn't really want to see it. we've been married for about 15 years. Is it 15 or 16? He always gets upset. I mean, I never know the exact, I think it's, it'll be 15 years. Yes. 15 years in October.
We'll ask him to make sure you were right.
I know the date, just not the year.
Right.
But we still, you know, we still disagree with a lot of this stuff. And we have these incredible discussions sometimes until the, you know, early hours of the morning, trying to not necessarily convince each other anymore, which used to be the case, but just really to help each other understand the way we see things. I also grew up with a very logical mother. I mean, very, you know, very smart. She's in medicine, just very logical. But I also grew up having certain experiences that it wasn't like, oh, wow, this happened. It was just, I always knew. And she told me even as a child, when I was very small, I was, I think, maybe 2 years old. She said, I came running into the room and said something about the fire and described a fire to her, like very, in very detail, that a two-year-old child who had never seen a show about a house on fire or anything, details that I shouldn't know. So I think I've always been a little bit tapped in. You know, they say we all are as children. And then as you get older, you kind of lose that connection. And I've mostly lost that connection, but I think there's still a little bit, and I can feel it. And I've had so many different experiences in my life that I don't know if it's that I don't want to explain them away or if I can't explain them away, but I feel them and I believe they're real. And I've seen that proof that I need many times. So that has really kind of changed me. Now, there are some things I'm skeptical about. We have had over 100 interviews. And we, in our podcast, we don't try to debunk anyone's story. We just kind of want to give them a platform to speak their truth. And hopefully it will resonate with someone and maybe help someone. But there are times when I'm like, there's no way. And I need to see proof of that. So I still have that, you know, little bit of skepticism in me. But for me, it's the world is just a much better place when you believe. It opens it up more. It's more colorful and it's more brighter. It's more experiential. So I've really not tried to stifle that. I've tried to kind of encourage that part of me, even when sometimes I'm like, huh, you know. But gosh, so many different experiences.
Can I ask you something before you go off onto that? Of course. Just a burning question.
Yes.
Because I would say things to my mother like that, and she would just go, poof, you know, poo poo. Well, what was her mom's reaction when you told her that?
Earlier it was just kind of like, huh. So my mother's from South America. She's from Ecuador. And I don't know what it is about that area of the world, but there's a lot of stuff going on. So they would, in the family, they would tell stories about never anything that they could do or experience personally, but things that they would see or, you know, things that went bump in the night. So there were always kind of that going on. So she had a little bit of that sort of belief, but for the most part, it was like, oh yeah, okay, honey, you know, she probably thought I was daydreaming or whatever. Now, sure. However, I'm turning it to our side. So it's only taken, you know, a lot of years. I'm not putting my age out there, but it's taken a while, but she's turning. So it's good.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And I keep thinking about Santa Claus, you know, the story that we're told about Santa Claus. And I think that on some level, that's like a huge incident in our life when we discover that Santa's not real.
You know? I was devastated.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter, I don't know if she still believes or if she's just acts like she believes so she can, you know, partake in the fun of it all. But it's not looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know this might sound like a weird question, and you can certainly go back to what you were starting to say, but why do you think people are skeptical? Why?
Oh, gosh, I think there's so many reasons. I mean, I think that a lot of it is you want to see action and reaction.
Yeah.
You know, because you're taught that. Okay. If I, you know, I'm speaking to the spirits, I want to see this glass move on the table or something.
Yes.
And I think you can see that if you truly believe on maybe a smaller, not so in your face way. Like just a quick example, my best friend in the world passed away in May.
Yes.
And it was really rough. And so one day I woke up and I was just really sad. And I said, all right, Christy, I know you're there. I just give me a sign that you can hear me, that you're still around. And we used to, in college, we were the anthropology, you know, kind of granola kids. And we had this magnolia oil that we would always put on our wrist, and it smelled so good. So I said, send me a magnolia. And then I just kind of let it go. Well, the next morning I wake up, my mom sends me a text, 2 big pictures of magnolias.
Oh.
And I hadn't spoken with her. And she's like, I was on this walk and I saw this beautiful tree and I just felt compelled to take pictures of these magnolias and send them to you. Then later that day, I was on a job and I'm driving out to the job, and the address that I have to go to is Magnolia Street.
Oh my God.
And I saw, like, driving on the way home, a moving truck that had magnolia. I mean, it was everywhere. So it might not have been like, bam, a magnolia appeared, but it was there. And I think sometimes, oh, that's coincidence. You know, people say, oh, that's coincidence. That's just, you're just thinking about it now, so you're going to see it more. You know, maybe, but it's so much better to believe that was her saying, here I am.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that that's the skeptical people would say that. Oh, you were looking for it, or you made it up, or because I'm going to expose the skeptical part of me. Back in the days when I was just starting to do spiritual work, and I was dating, and I was dating a guy that, does he love me? Does he not? You know, all that back and forth thing that people do.
Yeah.
And I started asking for signs. And so, of course, I saw signs. I saw license plates that said, yes, he loves you, or whatever it was, or a billboard that said, yeah. So in that sense, I learned that if you ask for signs, you are going to see them because you're going to be looking for them. Mm-hmm. But if signs just happen, like the magnolia, I think that indicates that, yeah, there's something to this. You know, mm-hmm. don't be skeptical about that. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
No, I agree. But we're taught, you know, that that's childhood stuff, or you're going crazy or whatever. And so nobody really wants to maybe let themselves believe, or much less admit that it's, you know, I mean, we're kind of starting to break out into our population is increasing. The message is getting out there, which is the point of our podcast. But it's kind of scary for a lot of people, I think. And the thing with the skeptic metaphysicians, we like to call it a toe dip. You know, you're dipping your toes into the water. You're not committing to anything. You're just getting information. And that's all we do. We just give information about the different modalities and people's experiences. So you can check it out, you know, without really saying, well, you know, I'm fully into the woo. Even the name woo sounds woo, you know, and a lot of people don't want to be necessarily associated with that.
Right.
You know, in what you do, most of the people that are having these experiences are the accountants and the attorneys and the marketing people and the average, you know, worker, normal person, not the artsier. I mean, them too, but we're seeing it a lot more in the kind of general population. So I think that's people true. Are letting themselves believe in it a little bit.
Yeah. So why do you think it's scary for them? Why?
I think maybe because people do associate it with you just losing your grip on reality. And the people that we have spoken to that are having these spiritual awakenings, you know, they call it the dark night of the soul. It can be very scary. You know, you've had your experiences too. You hear that voice in your head and you're like, that wasn't me. You know, what was it? Oh my God. You know, I'm going to be committed. So I think, you know, that's a scary thing. Also, not to mention, you know, movies and television, it's always like the ghosts and, you know, the Exorcist and the Omen and Damien and all these scary movies about it, which are the ones you remember. You don't necessarily remember the nice ones.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of how we think about these things. That's how we're taught to think about these things, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a huge shift in our reality too. It's like, wait a minute, past lives do exist, or yes, I can leave my body, or I can be healed energetically, because it just shifts and kind of, I don't know, makes everything different in your life.
It really does. And I think that is one of the wonderful things about everything going on with quantum mechanics and particle theory and everything, the people that need that science, or they kind of want to believe, but they're kind of, you know, well, they're going to think I'm crazy, but hey, there's some science around it. Okay. I can jump on board maybe a little bit. And I think that's how it was with Will. So he was, as we've said, the bigger skeptic, actually very skeptical. And he is, you know, he wants to see that proof. He wants to have that scientific fact. And quantum theory and quantum mechanics has really helped him kind of wrap his head around it. And also, I think allowing himself to, I guess he thinks it's a vulnerability, to be vulnerable to these experiences, has really helped. And that's been hard for him. He started this podcast because he had some demons that he was dealing with. We all do. His were a little extra large. And, you know, he was trying therapy, and he's talked about this, so I feel okay to to mention this. He's talked about this on different shows. And it wasn't quite enough. I believe his therapist told him to start meditating. And it became a game changer. And when he was younger, he was really into all of this Carlos Castaneda and all of the spirituality. But as he likes to say, life got in the way. And he ended up, you know, working, and then you just get focused on that. And he was working in television and, you know, became this executive and all of this. So you kind of can't really, he didn't feel like he could keep that part of him. But, you know, 20 years later or whatever, he's starting to meditate and starting to remember all of these things. So he started this podcast as an exploration for himself and just started talking to different people. I mean, within these interviews, we've interviewed, you know, hand analysts, and he's interviewed a vampire. We've talked to someone who speaks with Bigfoot, people that have had alien abductions, mediums, channelers, you name it. We've had 100 and plus of these interviews, and it's really been fantastic. But it's allowing him to feel more comfortable in the fact that he can believe in these things and not feel like he's crazy or like a weirdo. That was another thing that always surprised me. He was so concerned with being taken advantage of, you know, maybe by that fortune teller that's going to, you know, charge you $200 to speak to your dead grandfather or something. He didn't want to be a part of that. So he's kind of letting himself let go of that fear and just listen to people and kind of make his own take on it. And it's, I don't think he's 100% skeptical anymore. We say now that our podcast listeners are more of the skeptic metaphysician.
Wow.
So we're just putting the information out there, and, you know, it's been fun, and he's a different person. I could tell you now, if he doesn't meditate, I like send him off to go meditate, because it's like, go.
Go to your meditation.
And it's like this guy who used to work for NBC and, you know, was this hardcore, whatever TV guy, just did a 3-day silent retreat at an ashram here. And like, I never would have thought that would be the case. And he comes back and like, I don't know if I want to eat meat anymore. And you know, he's doing some yoga. It's incredible. So it's been a game changer for him and for us, for both of us.
Well, I think, like I was saying before, it's the personal experience of it that you can't deny.
Yeah.
You just absolutely can't deny. That's just great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought of something to ask you as you were talking, and it slipped. No, it slipped away. So just ask it. what is your ultimate goal in doing this podcast work? Because I know that, I guess part of me says, is it really going to help people? Because I know that the world is really changing. I think that we are evolving and we are accepting things, and it's becoming much more mainstream. Mm-hmm. The woo factor is becoming more mainstream.
Yes. So
what is your ultimate goal in doing this?
Well, it's interesting because that has changed so much. And like I said, originally, Will was kind of doing this as an exploration for himself to learn. And I kind of jumped on from time to time and we would co-host together just with our kind of different points of view. But it really, as you know, I mean, these podcasts are a lot of work. And we laugh because, you know, he says he does all the work and I just show up, talk and walk away, which I mean, it's not totally untrue. I do a little more than that, but it's really his baby. But it got to the point where, you know, we release one podcast a week. So that's, and he edits it and creates the artwork for the episodes. And we are every Wednesday. I mean, he's a very big stickler on that consistency. And the audio quality has to be excellent. So he'll spend so much time making it a great show that it was really starting to take away from our family life. You know, it's like after dinner, that's kind of when we hang out, but he'd be there editing. And it was getting to the point where it was just going to be too much. And so we talked about just quitting the podcast. And it's like, you've learned a lot. You've made some good connections. Let's just time to let it go. So this was, I want to say, about a year ago. And I said, well, you know, I was just curious. It was like the day we had made this decision. I'm like, I'm just going to Google it and see what pops up. So I Googled it and we happened on these pages of reviews that neither one of us knew existed. And they were all 5-star reviews and people had written like paragraphs. And so we start to read these and one person wrote this, which shocked us. This podcast is like my constant source of surrender and inspiration. And it went on and it's helped him in his Phoenix process. And we thought, wow, we really had no idea that people were affected in that way from this podcast. And we thought, gosh, if this is helping one person, we can't quit. Mm. And so luckily he was able to find some really good programs and stuff that have cut down his editing time tremendously. But I think our goal now, I mean, I still don't understand on a personal level how what we're doing really helps people. But we did just get another review this week, and it was a UPS driver. And he's been driving, he's been binging all the episodes. And at the bottom, he said, "Thank you for helping me feel normal." And I'm like, that's our goal. That's what we're here for. We are here to show everybody what is out there. We don't, like I said, we don't debunk anything. We don't necessarily put our take on it. We're getting information so that other people around can hear this and find someone that, oh yeah, me too, or that resonates with me, or okay, this isn't me being crazy. And ultimately, hopefully, kind of bring everyone into this community and help kind of raise the vibrations of the community of the world of, you know, that sounds very lofty, but you know what I'm saying? Just to make it a better place.
And I just remembered the question I was going to ask. Oh, since you said the word debunk. And you know what? Let's take a little bit of a break. We have our little commercial things that we have to do. And I'm talking to Karen Ensley from Skeptic Metaphysics. Skeptical Metaphysics. I always screw that up.
Skeptic Metaphysicians.
Yeah. And we will be right back.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. Transform your life from triggered to empowered with the Perfect Life Awakening program. Royce Morales' extraordinary, enlightening, spiritually based teachings that get to the core of subconscious underlying motivations driving your life. With more than four decades as a transformational facilitator and author, Royce Morales offers ways to awaken your deserving, authentic existence, free from paralyzing issues, repetitive patterns, and programmed fears, while simultaneously awakening your spiritually aware, higher consciousness, purposeful self. Perfect Life Awakening offers remote group classes and one-on-one sessions to explore even deeper levels. Check out Royce Morales' books, Want, True Love, Past Lives, and Other Complications, Know, A Spiritual Wake-Up Call, and Back, Rebirth After Stroke. Learn more about Perfect Life Awakening and Royce Morales. Visit RoyceMorales.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. You are listening and watching the Perfect Life Awakening show, and I'm talking to Karen Ensley, skeptical metaphysician, and I'll get that right. So you were talking earlier about debunking. I like that word. How do you sit there and listen to some of these things that clearly you want to debunk, but how do you not say anything? What's your process that you go through with that?
That's a great question. No one has ever asked us that before. A big part of it is just really truly understanding and believing that just because something is your reality doesn't mean it's someone else's or not someone else's. So the people that we, first of all, we vet the people that, or Will vets the people that we speak to. And I honestly think in all of our podcasts, we've only not aired one. But it is kind of hard sometimes, but it's so interesting. So the Bigfoot episode, you know, this guy is like, I've had this relationship with this family of big feet, Bigfoots. I'm not sure what the plural is. I should have asked him that. And we're like, okay, you know, and because I remember growing up watching In Search Of as a kid, Bigfoot was always the thing. And is that side profile, that side walking view. But so we're like, okay, well, we'll see what this guy has to say. And just listening to his story and the way he explained it, we were like, maybe that's possible. And it was not anything that you would expect. It was not that they are hiding, you know, and really good hiders. But the way he explained it, we're like, okay, maybe. But regardless, he very, very thoroughly believed it. And we have had people comment on how much they have loved that episode. You know, so really, we, unless it's something that's very negative that we find out, you know, in that case, we might, you know, ask the question. And Will has asked, were you drinking when this happened? I mean, we do ask those questions, you know? So sometimes it's not that we're trying to debunk them, but we just want to make sure that this is, you know, an actual experience and not something that was just influenced by alcohol or something. But it can be a little tricky. There have been a couple of times where we literally, you know, turn off the computer, finish the interview, turn everything off, walk out of the room, close the door, and we're like, what the heck was that? Again, it's not our job to say that someone else's truth and reality is not real. You know, that's what they believe in. That's what they see. The people that we interview, we know they're not just putting on a show because of the vetting that we do. They honestly, truthfully believe everything that they're saying to us. And we have learned that ultimately everyone's message, whatever the modality is, it's all the same. It's all about growing that sense of community, growing the love, raising the vibrations, and supporting each other throughout it. So, you know, we've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Wow. So, and you know, everybody's on different levels too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the things that used to intrigue me are like, okay, whatever now, but you know, somebody else might be very intrigued. And as you're talking, I'm remembering I've been on a lot of podcasts, mm-hmm. and was interviewed by this one particular man who shall remain nameless. And it was a really great interview. However, I said something on the interview. This particular gentleman was a psychologist who might have been a psychiatrist. I'm not sure. But I said something on the interview that I could just feel, oh my God, I shouldn't have said that.
Ooh.
But it was my truth. It was something that I had experienced teaching four decades of mm-hmm. people. And it's really the core of what I teach, which is we're responsible for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel his energy pull back. And it ended up that after the interview, he had his assistant email me and say that he was not going to air the interview.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
That's almost like censorship, right?
Have
your experience.
It's like, you don't agree with me, so you're not going to air the interview. So,
mm-hmm.
wow. And I guess I kind of already asked you that. So if somebody really says something that you completely disagree with, you would just not...
Not necessarily if we completely disagree with it. If it was harmful or negative, then yes.
Right.
Or if someone is just, we've had, I think this happened one time where someone, actually, I guess we've not aired two interviews. Someone came on and you could tell they just were trying to hawk their products. That's not what we're here for either. But I mean, there's some stuff. There are a few things that I just don't believe in that Will absolutely does, or I don't. We talk to them and I won't sit there and say, well, I don't believe that, but I'll ask my questions. And, sometimes in that case, I'm the skeptic and Will's not, but we are just looking to get the truth out there. So maybe it's not my truth, but it's someone's truth. And someone listening is going to say, okay, yeah, I believe in that. Or, oh, okay, that explains it. That's why I don't believe in that. It's not up to us to judge that. We're just out there for everyone to listen to and take and do what they will with it.
So I've got a whole bunch of questions here. Let's see which one is jumping out at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, what was the hardest thing for you to get past in terms of your skepticism? Is there something that you just look back on and go, wow, that was tough?
Well, there's something that I'm still trying to get over. And it is, I'm like an oxymoron sometimes. No, but just sometimes, this is it. No. So we've had a lot of different people come on and talk to us. And I've had a lot of people tell me the same thing about myself. And it's a very strong spiritual connection. And like I said, I've always believed that there's something there. I've had experiences, but I've never felt like it was me kind of creating these experiences. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't say I'm a channeler, I'm a medium. I'm like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, I feel my grandfather around, or I've seen this happen. I believe it, but I don't necessarily feel like I have this ability. And I've been being told again and again by different people that I do. And I'm like, well, where's the proof? I'm skeptical about me. and so, I'll get a feeling that I wouldn't think would be a feeling that I would have. And I'm like, oh, is that it? Or is that me? So that, I think, is the hardest part for me. Am I creating these thoughts, or is someone putting these thoughts in my head? I'll say, well, are you here? And I'll hear this. Yes. I'm like, well, is that just me saying yes? Or is that someone else saying, there's been one time that I heard a voice in my head very distinctly that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was with my friend that passed. I had gone to be with her family while she was in the hospital her last days. And it was the evening that she passed, my girlfriend and I that went back to their house because it was 10 o'clock and the family was staying with her. And she was still there. It was Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And her sons were there. And I think she was really trying to push through and make it past Mother's Day. And at about 4:30 in the morning, I heard clear as day in my head, because I woke up to go get a drink of water or something. Clear as day in my head, I heard, good night, sweetheart. And it wasn't my voice at all, And I'm like, that was really weird. And then the next morning, we got a message. They woke us up around 6:30 and she had passed. So, I mean, that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But every other time I wonder if it is. So that's my skepticism.
I'm the same way. And I was trained when I first started my spiritual journey, I was trained to be a channeler. That's how I got involved in all of this. Mm-hmm. And it took probably 3 years for me to start even barely trusting it, only because I would get something and I would say it and the person would go, "Oh my God, that's my Aunt Matilda." And she, you know, so mm-hmm. they would verify what I got. And it's interesting because I kind of let all of that go. I'm still able to do it, but I don't really focus on that because I found that people really, they get dependent on it, yes. you know, and they need to trust themselves and they need to have their own experiences. Mm-hmm. But the last few months, I've had all kinds of experiences like that again. It's like, maybe the universe is taking me back to do that again.
There's something you need to do and it's calling you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I still notice that, okay, could that be just me making that up? And so I give it out and the person's like, "Oh my God, that's my mother." Or, you know, so mm-hmm. it's very interesting. Yeah. So is there something that, you know, I know for me, what brought me absolute proof was, like I was saying before, out of body experience, channeling, mm-hmm. Energetic healing, all of that. Is there something that brought you that absolute proof?
Boy, I've had a couple of things that have given me that proof that I needed. One thing, and I hadn't thought about this until just now. Years ago, I was in Ecuador visiting family, and Ecuador is right. It's connected to Peru and Colombia, and it's kind of right on the edge of South America. Lots of Native Ecuadorians, if you want to call them that, Quechua Indians, but the Inca were also there for a while. And there are a few Inca ruins, not very many. Most of them are in Peru and over in that area, but we have a few. And my cousin and I went into this beautiful little city really high up in the mountains to look at these ruins. And we went, we had a kind of a tour, but it was just three of us. We went into this temple, and it was apparently where the king had lived. And I remember touching the rocks because I always like to think, wow, people, how many people have touched these and who's, you know, who carved these? And it's just, my degree is in anthropology, so I'm very interested in that. But I don't know how to explain it in the way that'll make sense. So the rocks were cool on that to touch, but you could feel the heat on the inside. Hmm. You could just feel this energy coming through. And it was the strangest sensation. But I knew that was just the energy of all of these, you know, very spiritual people that had lived in this temple, you know, throughout time, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. So that was like a physical, you know, proof. Well, actually, I have another one that is a little bit more, I guess, obvious. This would kind of probably convince more people. I have a ghost. I've named her Lila, and she follows me around. And she's a good ghost. And when Will and I started dating, he gave me for Christmas a beautiful diamond bracelet. And I loved it. I wore it all the time. And I went to work one day and I noticed that it wasn't on. I'm like, oh no, I don't really ever take it off. So I worked really close to my house. I thought, I'll just run home really quick and grab it, you know. So I go home, and as I'm pulling in, I'm seeing the guy mowing the lawn, like right by where I park. And I'm like, oh my God, it's probably fell in the grass and now it's being chopped up. Oh no. So I ask him, and he hadn't heard any weird sounds. And I look around, I go inside, and I'm looking everywhere. I mean, I'm looking in couch cushions, places it would just not be. And I'm in and out. I'm looking on the floor. I'm looking on the porch. And at this point, I've given up. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to go buy another one that looks just like it because I can't tell him I've lost it. So that's my plan. So then I think about my ghost. I'm like, all right, Lila, I really need your help. Can you help me find this bracelet? And so I look around the house a little bit more. And then I go back onto the porch to look there again. And I look down, and right on the welcome mat in a perfect spiral circle is my bracelet.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that to me, that's proof right there. And that was Lila. And she's helped me find things from time to time. And if I don't acknowledge her, you know, things will happen. Nothing bad, like, you know, something will pop off a shelf or just random stuff. But yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Lila.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I guess kind of the flip side of the previous question I asked. So what was the hardest thing for you to get past in your skepticism?
The hardest thing? What specifically do you mean? So other than thinking that it's not myself?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me has been the most difficult thing. And just not knowing, you know, not knowing if it's real or if I imagined it. We did some breath work. We did a really wonderful seminar. One of our guests invited us to participate in Warrior Breath Work seminar that he was doing. And I had never done breath work before. And I thought, well, you know, it'll be cool. You breathe. It's probably good for you. I'm up for anything.
Breathing is good.
Yeah. So we were in separate rooms and we had he's in Hawaii. So we had our laptops on and we're going through this breath work. And all of a sudden I'm just looking at myself lying on the bed. And I'm like, well, that, you know, that's really weird. And then I wasn't. And so I was talking to Will about that. And he's like, oh, yeah, you totally, you know, left your body. I'm like, but did I? So something like that. I'm like, did I really? Or did I just imagine it? Because you're, it's like you're inhaling a lot. I'm like, am I just producing kind of crazy stuff going on in my brain from the lack of oxygen? But he probably was right, because the details of what I saw were too much for me to just have imagined it, I think.
Yeah. So what about people that, and myself included, I would read stories like that. Mm-hmm. And then I would either have experiences that were similar or hope for experiences that are similar or make up experiences that are similar. How do you talk about that?
I think we all do that. And yeah. Will is dying to astral project. I mean, he's always talking to people that can do that. And then let me take the class and let me do this. And that's his thing. I think, gosh, it's believing. It's letting yourself be open enough to believe in something. And I think once you open your mind and open your heart that much, it's amazing the things that will happen. And this is on a slightly different line, but Will, for example, always had this tremendous fear of dying. Mm-hmm. And he's like, was it like a switch? You just turn it off and then it's black and there's nothing there. And I've never really been worried about it. I couldn't tell you what is out there, but I know there's something out there. And I have chosen, I personally don't believe in hell. I mean, a lot of people do, but that's for me, that's my reality. And so we were talking about this and I said, you know, maybe it's just like a light switch and everything turns off and it's done, but isn't it much nicer to believe that that's not the case? You know, so you can sit here and burden yourself with these heavy thoughts and this fear of this is going to happen. Or you can just be like, hey, what's it going to be like? It's going to be great. Just tell yourself, you know, this is going to be great. And then you start to really believe it. And I think maybe with some of these experiences, you know, did I astral project? I probably did, you know? I mean, why should I believe that I didn't? Just because everyone thinks it's weird or that's not physically possible or... But really, who knows? You know, you just have to really allow yourself to be open and to be vulnerable and not really care what other people think about it, because it is your own experience. We all view lights. My sister listens to a lot of podcasts, and she said it's like being in a dark warehouse and everybody has a flashlight. I'm not sure whose podcast she heard it from, but she's like, everybody sees something with their own flashlight that someone else won't see. Yeah. You know, so we all view our lives very differently from anybody else. And we can't, who are we to judge what they're viewing? And they can't judge what we're viewing. Yeah. So just believe it. It's just better. Life is just nicer.
Yeah. I'm noticing as you're talking that most of my experiences that offered the proof that I couldn't deny, mm-hmm. they all happened in the very beginning of my spirituality. Mm-hmm. I had this very intense out-of-body experience, astral projection. Mm-hmm. And of course, I didn't believe it. You know, I mm-hmm. questioned it and did all that stuff. But where I had gone in this astral projection was to visit a friend of mine. And I called him up that morning and I said, and I described exactly what he was doing. And he was like blown away, of course. And he's mm-hmm. like, what, huh? I said, well, I think I left my body and I went to visit you, you know, and even then I left my body and I went to visit you. It's like, you know,
you're saying these things and you're like, oh God.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's like all of those things that proved stuff to me. Mm-hmm. And then it was very frustrating because I wanted them again.
Yes.
You know, do you find that that's what happens with people?
I do. And sometimes I think, I don't know if it's not that it's a very special type of person, but it's maybe a point in your life or an ability of awareness that you have to kind of hold on to that.
Yeah.
You know, because there are the people that can just turn it on and turn it off. And it's amazing. We just spoke with a woman who channeled the Judah Collective, and it just was fantastic. You know, 350,000 angels. And you're like, you know, but the things she's saying, and I mean, I was overwhelmed. Like, I started crying during this interview. Mm-hmm. I was just very overwhelmed with it all. But I think maybe when it's that one thing that you find that you're meant to do, maybe you can astral project, but maybe that's not the thing that you're supposed to do. That will give you that absolute proof all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of what I thought too, that, okay, now I have that one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yep. See, what am I really good at? And that's what I'm going to focus on.
Yeah, because I could have gotten very caught up in that, you know, I'm one of these people that, oh, I just leave my body all the time. And That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. And the same thing with energy healing. I had terrible headaches, and I went to a person that was an energy healer, and she literally healed me.
Yeah.
And I could have said, oh, wow, okay, well, I'm going to do that all the time. No, you're not supposed to.
Yep. Well, no, we have actually a really great story with energy healing. Well, it's so funny because he's a skeptic, yet he's a Reiki master. But about a year and a half ago, he was actually diagnosed with cancer. And it was in the kind of watching phases, you know, it was definitely a diagnosis. And we were kind of watching to see what would happen as far as treatment, surgery, what was the next step going to be. And throughout this and talking with the different people in the different modalities, he's had so many energy healings. He's been in a harmonic egg, and, you know, we've done hypnosis. He's had Reiki. He's had all kinds of really wonderful people. And everyone, the community has been so fantastic, just trying to help him with their healing abilities. Well, we had he had a biopsy recently, and we just got the results back about a week ago, and it's gone.
Wow. So,
with no sort of Western medical treatment at all.
Wow.
So, yeah. So there we go, Will. There's your proof in the pudding.
There you go. How could you deny that? Oh, my God.
You can't. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking as you're talking, your podcasts are wonderful. The work that you guys are doing is wonderful. It sounds to me like there's a book in the making. Is that something that you've thought about?
I have been thinking about that a lot. And even if it's just like a series of the interviews, you know, and then our take on the interviews, because some of them have just been tremendous. We have really spoken with some wonderful people that have had wonderful experiences. Last week, we released a podcast by a man who interviewed Mother Teresa and learned how to meditate from the Dalai Lama and is friends with Ram Dass and just like, you know, has interviewed Deepak Chopra, like all these incredible people. So we have learned so much. And I think, yeah, that's something that I have talked to Will about, you know, as a goal that we have in the future.
Wow. And another thought that just came to me is it just seems like, I guess maybe this is like the whole dilemma. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that there is like truth with a capital T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can't deny. It's like, okay, you're out of your body. You're watching yourself on the bed or whatever it is you're doing. That is the truth. So why is it that there's so many different like religions and disciplines and all these things that are claiming such differentness?
Well, you
know, one thing that says, this is the truth. Here you go.
Will has a great story that answers that question perfectly. And he talks about how God is sitting on his mountain of truth one day, just looking over the world and watching everything that's going on. And he kind of goes to look over the edge. And when he does that, he stumbles a little bit. And when he stumbles, some of the pebbles just kind of go like a little rock slide kind of down the mountain. And people are running from all over because they see that these are in this rock slide in the mountain of truth. And they're all grabbing a pebble. And so each person grabs that pebble and they pick it up and they're like, I have the truth. But actually what they have is only a fragment of the truth.
Oh, wow.
So their take on the truth. And I think all of these religions, they all have ultimately the same message. You know, if you don't look at the, if you try to avoid thinking about the way that, you know, people have kind of, I don't want to say bastardized the religions, but taken them to use them for control or for their purposes. If you look at the root of them, it's all about love mm-hmm. and hope and respect and treating each other kindly.
Yeah.
That's what they're all saying.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought in religion because I was going to ask you about that. There are things written in the Bible, and I don't need to denigrate any of it, but there's so many things that I look at and go, what?
I went to Catholic school for 12 years. So did Will. We have interviewed very religious Christian people on our show. I don't think that religion and metaphysics are exclusive at all.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, for me, I have, like I said, a degree in anthropology, and I've studied world religions, and I have crafted my belief from a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one, a little bit of that one, whatever resonates for me, and I've put it together. I believe that there is some sort of God being. I could not tell you what he or she is, or I guess you can't even say a he or she, in my opinion. It's everything. But I believe that it's a guide, you know, to live your best life, to be a kind person, to be a gentle person. Like I said, I think all of the religions point to that. And I think that whether it is, say it is, you know, God and Jesus, the Christian religion, well, they're not going to get upset that I'm being kind. I'm also believing in, you know, Taoism or, you know, following Buddhism, as long as I'm being a good person. So I don't think that it has to be exclusive. Mm. We are given these gifts and these abilities and these minds and these souls to do what we can with them. And whoever or whatever God is, I believe that's what they would want. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's all one. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this question, but do you see the trajectory of the world or the direction that we're going? How do you see that in terms of the work that you guys are doing?
You know, it seems so much that you look out and you watch the news and it's all just terrible. You know, it really is all terrible. But on the other side of that coin, there's this movement that's growing.
Yeah.
You know, all of the people like us that are talking and trying to get the messages out and trying to bring everyone together and sense that feeling of community and get rid of the hopelessness and the aloneness that so many people find themselves in. So many people that we talk to all agree we are going through a spiritual kind of reawakening or birth.
Yes.
Right now in the world. And like all births, it's very messy.
Yeah.
And the hard part of the work, the labor, is to not let yourself get engulfed with the negative, you know, and to work to keep that positive, that attitude, those thoughts, that hope, that love, and keep continuing to share that, to make those light reflections bounce off of each other and really brighten things up.
Yeah.
So
I absolutely agree. We are going through hell, and there is a goal. There definitely is a goal.
I mean, it's always darkest before the dawn, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Dark night of the soul. All mm-hmm. that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do people find your podcast? How do people get in touch with you?
Well, we are on social media, Facebook, Skeptic Metaphysicians, and on Instagram. It's the Skeptic Metaphysician_podcast. But the best place to find us is just to our website, skepticmetaphysician.com. And we have a newsletter there that if you want to become a member and join, it's great. You'll get the information and also access to some of our guests that have given discounts to some of their services. All of our podcasts all the episodes are on the website. So that really, Skeptic Metaphysician is the best place to catch us. We're also on the radio all over the place, kind of, which is kind of fun. But yeah, I would say that would be the best way.
And when does your podcast air?
We release a new podcast every Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. Okay, great.
And Will is a stickler on that, so you can bet there'll be a new one on. There was a new one today.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much. This was so, so interesting. And keep up the good work. Keep up the good skepticism. And
thank you.
You know, like I said, that's my middle name. I mm-hmm. arrived that way, and I'm still there. It has to have proof. So absolutely
healthy.
Yes, it's definitely healthy. Yeah. I look forward to listening to your next podcast, and I'd love to be a guest if you are interested in having me. We can
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I appreciate you being here. I'm so sorry that Will wasn't able to join us, mm-hmm. but you know, maybe we'll do it again. We'll have him
give his swap out
point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. This has really been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you. And make sure to tune in next, I guess it's in 2 weeks that I have my next show. And I'll be talking to somebody very interesting as well. And thank you so much again.